Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. In Kansas City, July wheat 743.5, down 2.5. December 771.25, down 2.75. July wheat in Chicago is 694.5, down 4.25. While December is 718.75, down 4.75. July corn 663.25, up 9. December 566.75, up 4. July soybeans 1516.25, up 20.5. November 1305.5, up 16.25. July soybean meal 449.10, up 8.30. Now 20, up 8.40. July soybean oil at 48.74 is up 16 cents. June live cattle 120.57.5, up 22.5. August feeders 144.20, up 2.5. And June lean hogs are 95.50. They're up 17.5.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Looks like the soybean and corn markets have both managed to shake off the dust of the issues that were surrounding U.S. wheat earlier in the week and have made some nice rallies this week.
Yeah, I think you've finally gotten to the point where we've moved back to springtime and in the springtime seasonal that we never got. And I think the outside markets have helped that. And like you said, even in the face of the wheat not being able to turn around, we do have some supply and weather issues. We've had some supply and weather issues, but the trade really didn't want to take note of that until we got to this point. And we actually see that emergence in corn is running so far behind, and we still have 40 million acres of beans to plant. And so I think we've actually moved backwards about 3 weeks in terms of the seasonality at this point, Dave.
Well, let's look at particulars. November soybeans today are well above the 200-day moving average in the November charts. Also have taken out the February spike high that we saw. Can we make a case for November soybeans to continue to run a little bit counter-seasonal and in June and potentially July take a shot at 1350, excuse me.
In the new crop, you mean?
In the new crop.
I think that's going to be a tough pull at this stage. I tell you, I think that this year is a lot similar to last year in that this is a supply-driven rally. And so obviously anything's possible when it comes to if the weather stays and the supply stays on the bullish side. But we also have to realize that in a supply-driven rally, they tend to go up sharply and they tend to go down sharply. And I think using the same game plan as last year and scale-up sell paper positions mostly into the rally of a supply-driven rally usually is the best way to go for the hedger. And I think whereas I could think that the corn is moving more in a 1993-type model year where you have a substantial low being carved out in May, and if the month of June stays extra wet, we not only lose harvested acres and lose yield by the end of the year, I think the beans are still on the verge of still trying to play out like a 2004 pattern. And I think the Chinese cancellations this week and the weekly export sales showing even more cancellations this morning would support that idea that essentially Brazil's logistics have been worked out and that we will be the seller of last resort as we go forward here into the marketing year.
Although I do see quite a bit of 13-14 sales on the books to China already.
Yes, and I think that's where you probably have a good pace already built up, but I think this is where it goes back to, will China have to tighten some of their regulations in the property market and some of the grain importers that are crushers that have been reportedly using the bean imports to essentially leverage themselves into the Chinese property market. I think between that and the stock market and the big supplies coming out of South America, you still have a very strong meal market, don't get me wrong. You still have a very strong case for the August beans to try and move up towards the July beans unless we see additional Chinese cancellations. But when you want to put $2 a bushel on new crop beans or $2.50 a bushel on new crop beans, I think you're certainly in a situation where you have to feed the bull because you are in more of a supply-driven market.
Turn our attention then to corn, which has also had a nice rally, gapped higher, cleared the 100-day moving average, cleared and is actually looking at a Fibonacci retracement as well. If you look at last year's highs into the October lows at the 38% level, seems like that corn has some good chances here to continue to rally. The reason I say this is that usually you don't see January highs hold for the year.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. I think the other point to be made here is that emergence is at 54%. That puts and half those states, half of the 9 of 18 of the producing states for corn are at 10% or more behind in emergence. And this is where I think the 1993 model year comes back in, is that we had a very wet June of 1993, and that not only clipped our harvested acres, but it clipped our yields. By the time we went from May of 1993, USDA had a yield of 122.7. By December of 93, it was 103.1. So you can have just as big a yield hit as you did last year when it comes to the drought that we had. But you have to have, in my opinion anyway, and history would suggest, you have to have a continued wet June. So I think if you want to go above 575, 585 in December corn, you A, need the weather on your side, and B, need the wheat on your side, because I think that the upside potential in corn is going to get tougher and tougher and tougher to be promoted and lasting, especially given the January talk that you just had about the January high not holding. If you really want to take that out, I think you have to have the weather and the wheat on your side to be able to do that.
Well, I think there might be an opportunity there, perhaps, as time goes by. We will see. I also think that when you talk those numbers and begin to crunch them, that perhaps a 14 billion bushel crop might be an afterthought and certainly fading away. I think that maybe 2 billion carryover is beginning perhaps to fade away too. Are those reasonable assumptions?
Yeah, I think this is where the end user plays a huge role between now and the June 12th crop report, because more rain equals more uncertainty, and it also equals less farmer selling. So I think you could have the investor fund-related buying come back in a very strong manner. I think you could have a counter-seasonal wheat rally because the yields are not there in the hard red wheat, and the soft red wheat is also probably getting hit more than being helped by the current weather pattern. And so does the end user realize that there's not going to be a lot of farmers selling, and at the same time realize that we do have decent demand and demand that needs to be satisfied? In other words, does the basis get pushed, and does that create an environment where the July-September corn spread of 68 cents or the July-August bean spread of 77 cents suggests that the deferred and soon-to-be lead month contract becomes premium and goes up to where the July futures are. And I think that story is going to be written here in the next 10 days, because another week of wet weather, I think, will really catch the market on its heels. So between now and the June 12th report, and especially between the June 12th report and the June acreage and stocks report, I think is the ideal time to get some hedges back in place.
Thank you much there, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace: July corn is 663, up 8¾. December, 566 and a quarter, up 3½. July soybeans, 1517, up 21¼. November, 1305½, up 16¼. July soybean meal, 449, up 820. July soybean oil at 4877, up 19. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.